We're going to turn in our Bibles, please, to John's Gospel, John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8, we'll break into the chapter, just a few verses from verse 31 down to verse 36 together this evening. John chapter 8 and the verse 31. And the Word of God says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. We'll finish there, knowing God will bless the reading of his word again to our hearts this evening. On Thursday evening, just past, in our midweek Bible study, as many of you will know, we're working our way through the book of the Epistle of 1 John. And on Thursday evening, we were looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And one of the things that we drew out, or one of the things that we considered in those verses, was in verse 3 of 1 John 3, where it talks about every man that hath this hope in him. And that was reflecting, of course, in the context on the blessed future that lies ahead for the Christian, for those who are in Christ Jesus, that those of us who were saved, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we have a glorious hope. It's a blessed hope. A hope that one day we will be delivered from everything to do with this old world. That we will be freed from the cares and the problems and the difficulties. And we'll be freed from everything that goes on around us. Those things that sometimes concern us and worry us. Those things that cause us at times maybe to be a little bit confused. We'll be delivered from all of those things. We'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. And we'll be with our Savior. And we'll be like him. That's what the Apostle John says. We shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And we will know him. Just as our sister's just been singing about. If we could only tell him like we know him. But tonight I want to ask a question. I want to ask you a question. What about you? What hope do you have? What hope lies within your life, within your heart, with regard to eternity? What hope do you have of freedom from this old world? Because that's what the Christian has. We have a hope of freedom. We have an eternal hope. We have a blessed hope. We have a glorious hope. But what about you? What hope do you have? You see, there's many people today and they're bound. They're in bondage to different things and in different ways. Some people are in bondage to fear. And we know that and we can see that even in society in so many different ways. Some people are afraid of everything and anything. And they're in bondage to fears. Maybe the fear of what's going to happen in a particular circumstance or something that might come across our path. Maybe a fear of what's going to happen in this world, a world where things are so uncertain. Others are in bondage, perhaps in the sense of addiction, or bound by addiction to what some in this world call pleasure, but what the Bible very clearly defines to be sin. Because of bondage, whatever that bondage might be in this world, many people lack a sense of hope. They can see no hope in this world. Maybe that's you tonight, in this meeting or listening online or whatever it might be. Maybe you're one of those people and you're looking around and you can see no hope. Well, I want to speak to you tonight about the hope of freedom. Because that's what we see here in this passage of Scripture that we have read in John's Gospel. As John records it, and he speaks here about the Son. And in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Just to set the context of the passage that we've read this evening, we need to understand where Jesus is in his ministry. He's very much in the midst of his public ministry. He's engaged in traveling throughout the land, and he's going from place to place, and sometimes he's healing people, and other times he's teaching. He's teaching his disciples. He's teaching those who listen to him. But he's engaged in ministry. And in the days around this particular declaration that we have here in John 8:36, this declaration about freedom, we see the Lord Jesus revealing himself to be the Messiah, the promised anointed one. We see him revealing himself in a variety of different ways. We see in his words had great authority. As Jesus spoke, people listened. His words had such authority that we can see that to the extent that back in John 7:46, there were officers who had been sent to take him captive by the religious leaders. And when they were sent to take him captive, they didn't take him captive. They came back to the religious leaders. They're questioned, "Why have you not taken him?" And this is what they said. They didn't say he escaped from out of our midst. They didn't say, well, all of the people gathered around him and we couldn't get near him. They said this. They said, "Never man spake like this man." That was their answer. There was no one like him. In John 6:35, he declared himself to be the bread of life. In John 7:37, he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In John 8:12, he calls himself the light of the world. And so on and so on. Jesus is presenting himself as who he is. He's been engaged in debate with some of these religious leaders. And he's in the city of Jerusalem, and here they're challenging him because they don't like what he's teaching. They don't like his words. They don't like how the people are rallying to him. And yet, when you come to verse 30 of John 8, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. People were believing on him. People were trusting in him. And these religious leaders, they couldn't accept this. Jesus is speaking to those who have believed on him here. In verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So he's teaching here, and he's speaking to those who have believed on him. And then by verse 33, he's begun to teach about how they need to follow him. He's teaching them that they need to be his disciples. By verse 33, we see that they resented the message. Some of those who had believed on him, others who were gathered there, some of these religious leaders, they resented the message. They answered him when he talked about being made free, and they said, "We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man." So they're speaking about their background now. They're speaking about where they've come from. They're Jews. They're Abraham's seed. Never in bondage to any man. That's what they're saying here. Maybe you're listening this evening and you're thinking, well, that's just like me. I've never been in bondage. I'm free to do what I want. I can live as I please. There's no one tells me what to do. Maybe you're thinking, I don't need anything else. I've got everything in life under control. My life's great. It's wonderful. There are no issues out there, no problems out there. I don't need freedom from anything. I'm free to do what I want. That's the cry of the world today. Free to do what I want. And yet whenever this statement was made to Jesus, when they said, "We were never in bondage to any man, the Lord Jesus Christ takes that statement. And in his response to that statement, we see this wonderful declaration where he gets to the very heart of the gospel. And that's where I want us to go to now. I want you to see three things in what the Savior says in response to these people. I want you to see, first of all, that he effectively says that all are born slaves to sin. Look at verse 34. "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin," or literally the slave of sin. That word translated as servant is literally the word slave. That's what it means. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. Now, I want you to notice at the very start there, the first words that Jesus said. And sometimes we can skip past them, and I almost skip past them there now. But the first thing Jesus says is this, "Verily, verily." Now, we know what that means. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin," or the slave of sin. There's truth in his words. We know that his word is truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's speaking to these people who are resenting his message and are saying that they're not in bondage to any man, or and they're questioning how they needed to be made free. And Jesus says to them, I'm telling you the truth. Whosoever committeth sin is a slave of sin. You know, the Jews had a pretense very often whenever Jesus was there, a pretense of religion. They had this idea that they were very specific, that they had this idea that they were simply good enough because of who they were, because of their background, because they were Abraham's seed. They were Jews. In verse 32, Jesus has said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they responded to that statement of Jesus by holding on to their religious background, by holding on to their lineage, by holding on to their nationality. They said, we are Abraham's seed, never in bondage to any man. Now understand that even at that very time, as they're speaking, they were under Roman authority. The land was occupied by Roman forces. They were effectively in bondage already. But while they were in national bondage, in the sense that they were under Roman authority, they're holding on to their identity. They're holding on to their Jewish identity. And I suppose they're holding on to all of their efforts and their good works. They're holding on to their keeping of all of the laws as much as they can and hoping that that will be enough. What we see here is a people who are going through the motions of religion, going through the motions of good works, but in reality, just like all of us, they've been born under the bondage of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. I mentioned in the introduction about some of the things that hold people captive. Some of the things that bind people today, and we talked about addiction, and we talked about fear, but I'm going to tell you, there's something that has plagued this land of ours for years that holds people in bondage, and it's religion. People are in bondage to religion, in bondage to their church. People are in bondage in this land of ours to a national identity, a dead, hopeless faith placed in a church, placed in a nationality. And I'm going to say to you tonight that you could have a connection with any church, but that's not going to save you. This church here that you're in tonight can't save you. Only Christ can save you. Do you know, being a loyal Protestant in our land's not going to save you. Only Christ can save you. Being a devoted Roman Catholic is not going to save you. Only Christ can save you. But yet in this land in which we live, people are held in bondage by these things. And the message that's proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of bondage and freedom in this passage, it's still the same today. It hasn't changed. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your lineage is. It doesn't matter about your family line. It doesn't matter about your church. None of those things matter when it comes to your eternal destiny. The message of Christ hasn't changed, it won't change, it never will change. Scripture teaches clearly that we're all born as sinners. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if that's what the Bible says, well, that's what it means. And it's truth. Tells us that we're born as sinners. Here, the Word of God makes it clear that whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin. But the Bible continues with that theme in other places. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul, as he writes there, teaches that before salvation, we're all servants of sin or slaves of sin. The point is this, sin brings bondage. And whenever we think about how sin can grip a life, how it can grip and take hold upon a life, we have to be honest and admit that the sins of this world and the passions that rise up within us and the sin nature holds a tight grip upon those who it holds. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon who said, sin will reign if it can. It will never be satisfied with any place below the throne of the heart. And that's true. That's the grip of sin. It holds men and women in bondage. It enslaves men and women, and in doing so, it brings sinners to the place of outward rebellion against the holy God. See, our nature rises up. Our very nature itself strives to enthrone self. So often, even in the life of the Christian, at times we battle with putting ourselves on the throne. We battle with our own wills and with our own ways. And sin and the flesh will rise up within us and will do whatever they can to take us captive. But for the unsaved, it's got you captive. Your sin nature holds you captive. It holds you to many things. Your sin will hold you to your religion and tell you that that's good enough. It will hold you to a church and say that that's good enough. It'll hold you to your background and say you're good enough. It will hold you to your addictions and say this will satisfy you. It will hold you in fear and say, I don't know what to do. That's the grip that sin and self have upon mankind. The Lord Jesus here, as he's speaking to these people who have heard the truth, where he has said, the truth shall make you free. The Lord Jesus takes this opportunity when they say, we're not in bondage to any man, and he presents to the listeners the truth that sin enslaves. What about you tonight? Are you still in the bondage that sin holds over you? Are you still enslaved? Because of your sin, you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior? The Bible tells us that all are born slaves to sin. But the Bible tells us here that sin brings separation from God. Look at verse 35. Savior continues on here. He says, and the servant or the slave abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Sin brings separation. You see, the Jews here, as they've cried out that they're Abraham's seed and that they weren't in bondage, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's responding, he reminds them here of the contrast in society between the slave and the son. He reminds them that their sin separates them from the household of faith. One writer tells us the difference between the slave and the son is paramount, because the son has permanent rights in the household. The slave has no right in the household. No rights at all. That's the difference here. That's why the Savior, as he's speaking, he says to these people who are listening, he says, the servant abideth not in the house forever. They have no place of abode. They have no permanent home there. But the son abideth ever. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's speaking, presenting himself as the son, and as he does that, there's this truth that all who trust in Christ, they're adopted into the family of God. And as those who are adopted into the family of God, because of the love of God, because of the work of Christ, those who trust in Christ, they're adopted into the family. They're placed in the family. Literally, that's what it means, to be placed in the family. And those who are adopted into the family of God have the benefits of sonship, have a home, have a place to abide. Over in Matthew chapter 8, and we were in this chapter this morning, and we touched on the Roman centurion and how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about his great faith. And in those verses, Matthew 8 verses 10 to 12, the Savior used that point about the man who had great faith. He used it as an illustration regarding the hope of the gospel. The centurion was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. As far as the Jews were concerned, he wasn't able to be part of the household of God. He couldn't come into the family. And then Jesus says this, he says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Do you see the point there? It's very simply this, freedom comes by faith. Freedom comes by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 and verse 7, Paul says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son then an heir of God through Christ. That's what salvation brings. To be a son. Son or daughter of God. To be a child of God. To be an heir of God through Christ. But what about the slave? The slave has no rights in the household at all. The slave has no guarantees. At any time, the slave could be sold into captivity to another master. At any time, the slave could be cast out because of some indiscretion, whatever it might be. The slave has no guarantees. The picture of the slave is of one who has a bleak future. A friend, tonight, as you're listening, that's the future of the unsaved. Separation from God. Eternal separation from God. And separation from God because of sin brings eternal damnation. That's what the Bible tells us. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what it is to be eternally separated from God. Place of torment. Place of eternal judgment. A place of no hope. A place of eternal captivity. See, I have to be faithful tonight to the truth of the Word of God. There are only two eternal destinations. And which one you finish up in is determined by your standing before God. You see, you're either a slave, bound for hell, or you're a son, destined for heaven. Which one is it? Which one is it going to be? And if you know in your heart of hearts tonight that you are still in that state of bondage, that you're still a slave, that you're still captive, that you're not ready for heaven, if you were to go out into eternity tonight, that you would be in this place of separation. You know the truth. You know the way. You know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why would you continue in your state of bondage? You see, Jesus says all are born slaves to sin. The sin brings separation from God. But praise God, when we come to verse 36, we see this offer of salvation from sin. Because it says here, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's speaking about himself. He's speaking about himself as a Messiah here. He's in essence telling these people who are asking this question, he's telling them to trust in him as the only one who can deliver them freedom. As the only one who can set them free from their captivity, from their bondage. They're in bondage and he's the only way to freedom. He's the one who has the power to break the chains that hold them. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, he says, Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ Jesus hath made me free. Are you free tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings freedom. He's the great emancipator. He's the one who sets the captive free. And in his words here, there is absolute certainty. There is no question about it. As he speaks to those who listen, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's no question about it. There's a definitiveness about what Jesus has said here. It's a certainty. If you trust in Christ, you'll be free for eternity. You can try every possible way to free yourself. You can try your good works. You can try to pay your way. You can try your attendance at church and all of those things. You can try every way that you may wish to obtain your own freedom. But you can't obtain your own freedom. Christ has already paid the price. You simply need to come and trust in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and humbled himself. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this sin-cursed world, came to this place where sin abounds, and went to a cross so that grace would much more abound. Went to the cross to pay the price, to take the judgment of a holy God poured out upon him for us. That's what Christ did. And when he was speaking here, and he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's speaking, looking forward to what he's going to do. He's speaking about the fact that he's the only one who can purchase freedom. He's the only one who could pay the price. And he did it by the blood of his cross. This world will offer you all sorts of things. This world will offer much. The devil will offer you everything. Self will promise you everything. Our own imaginations, we can think about what we're going to do about this and that and the other. We can think we're going to succeed in this field or that field or that other. And whatever it might be, we think we're going to succeed. And we think that we have to follow after these things in order to be successful. People run after many things, looking for freedom to do what they want in this life, but not even considering the fact that they're in bondage for eternity without Christ. Are you in bondage? You see, there's no freedom in the things of this world. This world can offer you all sorts of things, but it can't offer you eternal freedom, because only Christ can do that. The hymn writer talked about it when he said, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed, e'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. This world will offer you everything, but everything this world offers ultimately keeps you bound in captivity in some shape or form. But Christ, he can set you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He went to the cross to pay the price that you couldn't pay, to pay the price that I couldn't pay, to do what we couldn't do. Our works, our best efforts will never measure up. But what Christ has done, it's all sufficient. Sufficient to pay the price for the sins of the world. He did it for you tonight. He went to the cross for you. And that sin that has its grip on you, and those best efforts that you're making to free yourself, they're of no use. Because Christ has already paid the price. Christ has died to set you free. And he's risen again to give you new life in him. Where's your hope tonight? Your hope of freedom. Where's your hope of eternity tonight? Whatever else you're placing your hope in, you need to set it aside. You need to turn away from it. You need to turn to the Son. Because who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. You need to come and trust in Jesus.